78. Contradictions. Ah, but they were left behind. It is obvious from the nature of the bond, but where, set off obvious realization like a prisity. They are with the shin. We must find one. Can we make to use a truthless? Can we craft a weapon? From the diagram, floorboard 17, paragraph 2. Every second letter starting with the first.
In the darkness, Shallan's violet spheres gave life to the rain. Without the spheres, she couldn't see the drops, only hear their deaths upon the stones and the cloth of her pavilion. With the light, each falling speck of water flashed briefly, like star spren. She sat at the edge of the pavilion, as she liked to watch the rainfall between bouts of sketching, while the other scholars sat closer to the center. So did Vatha and a couple of his soldiers, watching over her like nesting sky eels with a single pup. It amused her that they'd grown so protective. They seemed actively proud to be her soldiers. She'd honestly expected them to run off after gaining their clemency. 4 days into the weeping and she still enjoyed the weather. Why did the soft sound of gentle rain make her feel more imaginative? Around her, creation spren slowly vanished, most having taken the shapes of things about the camp. Swords that sheathed and unsheathed repeatedly, tiny tents that untied and blew in unseen wind. Her picture was of Yasna as she'd been on that night just over a month ago, when Shallan had last seen her, leaning upon the desk of a darkened ship's cabin, hand pushing back hair, freed from its customary twists and braids. Exhausted, overwhelmed, terrified. The drawing didn't depict a single faithful memory, not as Shallan usually did them. This was a recreation of what she remembered, an interpretation that was not exact. Shallan was proud of it, as she'd captured Yasna's contradictions. Contradictions. Those were what made people real. Yasna exhausted, yet somehow still strong. Stronger even because of the vulnerability she revealed. Yasna terrified, yet also brave, for one allowed the other to exist. Yasna overwhelmed, yet powerful. Shallan had recently been trying to do more drawings like this, ones synthesized from her own imaginings. Her illusions would suffer if she could only reproduce what she'd experienced. She needed to be able to create, not just copy. The last creation spren faded away, this one imitating a puddle that was being splashed by a boot. Her sheet of paper dimpled as pattern moved up onto it. He sniffed. Useless things. The creation spren? They don't do anything. They flit around and watch, admire. Most spren have a purpose. These are merely attracted by someone else's purpose. Shallan sat back, thinking on that, as Yasna had taught her. Nearby, the scholars and ardents argued about how large Stormseed had been. Navani had done her part well, better than Shallan could have hoped. The army's scholars now worked at Shallan's command. Around her in the night, an uncountable array of lights both near and far indicated the breadth of the army. The rain continued to sprinkle down, catching the purple sphere light. She had chosen all spheres of one color. The artist Elizeth, Shallan observed to Pattern, once did an experiment. She set out only ruby spheres in their strength to light her studio. She wanted to see what effect the all-red light would have upon her art. Pattern said. To what result? At first, during a painting session, the color of light affected her strongly. She would use too little red, and fields of blossoms would look washed out. Not unexpected. The interesting thing, however, was what happened if she continued working. Shallan said. If she painted for hours by that light, the effects diminished. The colors of her reproductions grew more balanced, the pictures of flowers more vivid. She eventually concluded that her mind compensated for the colors she saw. Indeed, if she switched the color of the light during a session, she'd continue for a time to paint as if the room were still red, reacting against the new color. Pattern said, content. Humans can see the world as it is not. It is why your lies can be so strong. You are able to not admit that they are lies. It frightens me. Why? It is wonderful. To him, she was a subject of study. For a moment she understood how Kaladin must have seen Shallan as she spoke of the chasm fiend, admiring its beauty, the form of its creation, oblivious to the present reality of its danger. It frightens me, Shallan said, because we all see the world by some kind of light personal to us, and that light changes our perception. I don't see clearly. I want to, but I don't know if I ever truly can. Eventually, a pattern broke through the sound of rain, and Dalinar Kholin entered the tent. Straight-backed and graying, he looked more like a general than a king. She had no sketches of him. It seemed a gross omission on her part, so she took a memory of him walking into the pavilion, an aide holding an umbrella for him. He strode up to Shallan.
Ah, here you are. The one who has taken command of this expedition.
Shallan belatedly scrambled to her feet and bowed. High Prince?
You have co-opted my scribes and cartographers, Dalinar said, sounding amused. They hum of it like the rainfall. Urethiru, storm seat. How did you do it?
I didn't. Brightness Navani did.
She says you convinced her.
Shallan blushed. I was really just there, and she changed her mind. Dalinar nodded curtly to the side, and his aide stepped over to the debating scholars. The aide spoke with them softly, and they rose, some quickly, others with reluctance, and departed into the rain, leaving their papers. The aide followed them, and Vatha looked to Shallan. She nodded, excusing him and the other guards. Soon Shallan and Dalinar were alone in the pavilion.
You told Navani that Yasna had discovered the secrets of the Night's Radiant, Dalinar said.
I did.
You're certain that Yasna didn't mislead you somehow, Dalinar said. Or allow you to mislead yourself, that would be far more like her.
Bright Lord, I don't think that is... She took a breath. No. She did not mislead me.
How can you be sure?
I saw it, Shallan said. I witnessed what she did, and we spoke of it. Yasna Kholin did not use a soul caster. She was one. Dalinar folded his arms, looking past Shallan into the night.
I think I'm supposed to refound the Night's Radiant. The first man I thought I could trust for the job turned out to be a murderer and a liar. Now you tell me that Yasna might have had actual power. If that is true, then I am a fool.
I don't understand.
In naming Amaram, Dalinar said, I did what I thought was my task. I wonder now if I was mistaken all along, and that refounding them was never my duty. They might be refounding themselves, and I am an arrogant meddler. You have given me a great deal to think upon. Thank you.
He did not smile as he said it. In fact, he looked severely troubled. He turned to leave, clasping his hands behind his back. Bright Lord Dalinar, Shallan said, what if your task wasn't to refound the Night's Radiant?
That is what I just said, Dalinar replied.
What if instead your task was to gather them? He looked back to her, waiting. Shallan felt a cold sweat. What was she doing? I have to tell someone sometime, she thought. I can't do as Yasna did, holding it all. This is too important. Was Dalinar Kho-Lin the right person? Well, she certainly couldn't think of anyone better. Shallan held out her palm, then breathed in, draining one of her spheres. Then she breathed back out, sending a cloud of shimmering stormlight into the air between herself and Dalinar. She formed it into a small image of Jasnah, the one she'd just drawn, on top of her palm.
"Almighty above," Dalinar whispered.
A single awspren, like a ring of blue smoke, burst out above him, spreading like the ripple from a stone dropped in a pond. Shallan had seen such a spren only a handful of times in her life. Dalinar stepped closer, reverent, leaning down to inspect Shallan's image.
"Can I?"
he asked, reaching out a hand. "Yes." He touched the image, causing it to fuzz back into shifting light. When he withdrew his finger, the image reformed. "It's just an illusion," Shallan said. "I can't create anything real."
"It's amazing,"
Dalinar said, his voice so soft she could barely hear it over the pattering rain.
"It is wonderful."
He looked up at her, and there were, shockingly, tears in his eyes.
"You're one of them."
"Maybe, kind of," Shallan said, feeling awkward. This man, so commanding, so much larger than life, should not be crying in front of her.
"I'm not mad," he said,
more to himself, it seemed.
"I had decided that I wasn't, but that's not the same as knowing. It's all true. They're returning."
He tapped at the image again.
"Jasnah taught you this?"
"I more stumbled into it on my own," Shallan said. "I think I was led to her so she could teach me. We didn't have much time for that, unfortunately." She grimaced, withdrawing the stormlight, heart beating quickly because of what she'd done.
"I need to give you the golden cape," Dalinar said, standing up straight, wiping his eyes and growing firm of voice again. "Put you in charge of them, so we—"
"Me?" Shallan yelped, thinking of what that would mean to her alternate identity. "No, I can't. I mean, Bright Lord Sir, what I can do is mostly useful if nobody knows it's possible. I mean, if everyone is looking for my illusions, I'll never fool them."
"Fool them,"
Dalinar said. Perhaps not the best choice of words for Dalinar.
"Bright Lord Dalinar!"
Shallan spun, alert, suddenly worried that someone had seen what she did. A lithe messenger approached the tent, dripping wet, locks of hair undone from her braids and sticking to her face.
"Bright Lord Dalinar! Parshendi spotted, sir!"
"Where?"
"Eastern side of this plateau," the messenger said, panting. "Scouting party, we think."
Dalinar looked from the messenger to Shallan, then cursed and started out into the rain. Shallan tossed her sketchpad onto her chair and followed.
"This could be dangerous," Dalinar said.
"I appreciate the concern, Bright Lord," she said softly. "But I think I could actually take a spear through the stomach and my abilities would heal me up without a scar. I'm probably the most difficult person to kill in this entire camp." Dalinar strode in silence for a moment.
"The fall into the chasm?"
he asked softly. "Yes, I think I must have rescued Captain Kaladin too, though I don't know how I managed that." He grunted. They moved quickly through the rain, the water wetting Shallan's hair and clothing. She practically had to jog to keep pace with Dalinar, storming Alethi in their long legs. Guards ran up, members of Bridge 4, and fell in around them. She heard shouting in the distance. Dalinar sent the guards into a wider perimeter to give himself and Shallan a measure of privacy.
"Can you soul cast?" Dalinar asked softly. "Like Jasnah did?"
"Yes," Shallan said, "but I haven't practiced it much."
"It could prove very useful."
"It's also very dangerous. Jasnah didn't want me practicing without her, though now that she's gone... Well, I will do more with it eventually. Sir, please don't tell anyone about this. For now, at least."
"This was why Jasnah took you on as a ward," Dalinar said. "It's why she wanted you marrying Adolin, isn't it? To to bind you to us.
Yes, Shallan said, blushing in the darkness.
A great many things make more sense now. I will tell Navani about you, but nobody else. And I will swear her to secrecy. She can keep a secret if she has to.
She opened her mouth to say yes, but stopped herself. Was that what Yasna would have said?
We'll send you back to the war camps, Dalinar continued, eyes forward, speaking softly. Immediately, with an escort. I don't care how hard you are to kill. You're too valuable to risk on this expedition.
Brightlord, Shallan said, splashing through a pool of water, glad she was wearing boots and leggings under the skirt. You are not my king, nor are you my high prince. You have no authority over me. My duty is to find Urithiru, so you will not be sending me back. And by your honor, I will have your promise not to tell a soul what I can do unless I give leave. That includes Brightness Navani. He stopped in place and stared at her in surprise. Then he grunted, his face barely visible.
I see Yasna in you.
Rarely had Shallan been given such a compliment. Lights bobbed and approached in the rain, soldiers bearing sphere lanterns. Vatha and his men jogged up, having been left behind, and Bridge Four held them back for the moment.
Very well, Brightness, Dalinar said to Shallan. Your secret will remain one for now. We will consult further once this expedition is done. You have read of the things I have been seeing?
She nodded.
The world is about to change, Dalinar said.
He took a deep breath.
You give me hope, true hope, that we can change it in the right way.
The approaching scouts saluted and Bridge Four parted to allow their leader access to Dalinar. He was a portly man with a brown hat that reminded her of the one Vale wore, except it was wide-brimmed. The scout wore soldier's trousers but a leather jacket over them, and certainly didn't seem in fighting shape.
Bashan, Dalinar said. Parshendi on that plateau next to us, sir, Bashan said, pointing. The Parshendi stumbled over one of my scouting teams. The lads raised the alarm quickly, but we lost all three men.
Dalinar cursed softly, then turned toward High Lord Taleb, who had approached from the other direction, wearing his shard plate, which he'd painted silver.
Wake the army, Taleb. Everyone on alert.
Yes, Brightlord, Taleb said.
Brightlord Dalinar, Bashan said. The lads took down one of those shell heads before being killed themselves. Sir, you need to see this. Something has changed.
Shallan shivered, feeling sodden and cold. She'd brought clothing that should last well in the rain, of course, but that didn't mean standing out here was comfortable. Though they wore coats, nobody else seemed to pay much heed. Likely they took it for granted that during the weeping you were going to get soaked. That was something else for which her sheltered childhood had not prepared her. Dalinar did not object as Shallan joined him in walking toward a nearby bridge, one of the more mobile ones run by Kaladin's bridge teams, who wore raincoats and front-brimmed caps. A group of soldiers on the other side of the bridge dragged something across, pushing a little wave of water before it. A Parshendi corpse. Shallan had only seen the one that she'd found with Kaladin in the chasm. She'd done a sketch of that earlier, and this one looked very different. It had hair. Well, a kind of hair. Leaning down, she found that it was thicker than human hair and felt too slick. Was that the right word? The face was marbled, like that of a parchman, this one with prominent red streaks through the black. The body was lean and strong, and something seemed to grow under the skin of the exposed arms, peeking out. Shallan prodded at it and found it hard and ridged, like a crab shell. In fact, the face was crusted with a kind of thin, bumpy carapace just above the cheeks and running back around the sides of the head.
This isn't a type we've seen before, sir, Bashan said to Dalinar. Look at those ridges. Sir, some of the lads that were killed, they had burn marks on them,
in the rain. Shakiest thing I've ever seen.
Shallan looked up at them. What do you mean by a type, Bashin?
Some Parshendi have hair, the man said.
He was a dark eyes, but clearly well-respected, though he didn't bear an obvious military rank.
Others have carapace. The ones we met with King Gavilar long ago, they were shaped different from the ones we fight.
They have specialized subspecies, Shallan said. Some Kremlings were like that, working in a hive with different specializations and varied forms.
We might be depleting their numbers,
Dalinar said to Bashin,
forcing them to send out their equivalent of Light Eyes to fight.
And the burns, Dalinar?
Bashin said, scratching his head under his hat. Shallan reached out to check the Parshendi's eye color. Did they have light eyes and dark like humans? She lifted the eyelid. The eye beneath was completely red. She screamed, jumping back, pulling her hand up to her chest. The soldiers cursed, looking around, and Dalinar's shard blade appeared in his hand a few seconds later.
Red eyes, Shallan whispered. It's happening.
The red eyes are just a legend.
Yasna had an entire notebook of references to this bright lord, Shallan said, shivering. The Voidbringers are here. Time is short.
Throw the body into the chasm,
Dalinar said to his men.
I doubt we'd be able to easily burn it. Keep everyone alert. Be prepared for an attack tonight. Bright Lord!
Shallan spun as a hulking, armored figure came up, rainwater trailing down his silvery plate.
We've found another one, sir, Taleb said.
Dead?
Dalinar said.
No, sir,
the shard-bearer said, pointing.
He walked right up to us, sir. He's sitting on a rock over there.
Dalinar looked to Shallan, who shrugged. Dalinar started off in the direction Taleb had pointed.
Sir,
Taleb said, voice resonating inside his helm.
Should you—
Dalinar ignored the warning, and Shallan hastened after him, collecting Vatha and his two guards.
Should you head back?
Vatha said under his breath to her. Storms, but that face of his looked dangerous in the dim light, even if his voice was respectful. She couldn't help but still see him as the man who had almost killed her back in the unclaimed hills.
I will be safe,
Shallan replied softly.
You might have a blade brightness, but you could still die to an arrow in the back.
Unlikely, in this rain, she said. He fell in behind her, offering no further objection. He was trying to do the job she had assigned him. Unfortunately, she was discovering that she didn't much like being guarded. They found the Parshendi after a hike through the rain. The rock he sat on was about as high as a man was tall. He seemed to have no weapons, and about 100 Alethi soldiers stood around the base of his seat, spears pointed upward. Shallan couldn't make out much more, as he sat across the chasm from them, a portable bridge in place to his plateau.
Has he said anything?
Dalinar said softly, as Taleb stepped up.
Not that I know of, the shard-bearer said. He just sits there.
Shallan peered across the chasm toward the solitary Parshendi man. He stood up and shaded his eyes against the rain. The soldiers below shuffled, spears rising into more threatening positions.
Scar? The Parshendi's voice called. Scar? Is that you? And Leighton?
Nearby, one of Dalinar's bridgeman guards cursed. He ran across the bridge, and several other bridgemen followed. They returned a moment later. Shallan crowded in closely to hear what their leader whispered to Dalinar.
It's him, sir, Scar said. He's changed, but storm me for a fool if I'm wrong. It's him. Shen. He ran bridges with us for months, then vanished. Now he's here. He says he wants to surrender to you.